This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
You can't go wrong with Smokey.
Very chill.
Today's a lot of the songs today are pretty chill.
We were just talking about that off the air. Scott is in a mellow vibe today.
Mellow, easy listening hits.
Sitting next to Delilah over here.
Where every song is easy. Oh, wait. Where every song is cool.
No, golly, if you're going to do
it,
do
it. What is it?
Parks is cool and easy.
You're listening to Parks is Cool and Easy.
Where every song is cool, but not necessarily every song is easy.
That's a lot of words.
Yeah,
that's
you got to workshop words. That one.
Yeah, we're going to put all a right. pin in that, circle we're, back.
Not every song is easy, but every song is cool.
That's
cool.
A little bit better.
Parks is Cool and Easy.
By the way, you can find on Spotify.
I found it one day when I was doing some housework, and I was like, there it is.
And?
It was delightful. There were some mellow 80s, like, deep track
stuff
hits.
Stuff you had forgotten about.
I'm like, I had forgotten about that song.
Yes.
Jam.
If you want a glimpse into Scott's I'm Stuck in the 80s nerddom, go check out the playlist.
You should call it a time machine.
It's got 102 songs on it. Stuff that you probably have forgotten about. But as soon as you hear it, you remember it. It's got some classics like Oh Sherry by Steve Perry.
Please.
The Flame by Cheap Trick. Amanda by Boston.
I love that song.
Of course.
But then there are things you don't hear as much anymore. Here's one.
Oh, God. Okay.
Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. Yeah.
Can we I stop love that show.
Copyrighted music through the microphone.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Are you going to get in trouble there?
Did you see Will Starrett's post on Facebook
appreciate
today,
that.
By the way, Dan?
Yes.
He writes, and I quote, "I just remembered a dream from last night where I was telling Dan Weinbaum about how Paul Davis's Cool Night had almost vanished from airplay before the yacht rock phenomenon resuscitated it. Oh, and hashtag banger, hashtag jam."
I was just so honored to be considered for an appearance in his dream.
I need to watch that. I don't remember the name of it, but it's a yacht rock documentary that Donald Fagen from Steely Dan lost his lid.
Yeah, he didn't want it to be called that or wanted to be a part of it or something.
I saw the interview on, I think it was on CNN. The son of Christopher Cross and another yacht rocker superstar, they got together and they were going to do a documentary about yacht rock and its resurgence and, you know, the fact
what
that
what it is.
Yeah, what it is and you know, who is considered yacht rock and everything. They recorded a phone call that they placed to Donald Fagen from Steely Dan. Now, they're kind of on the periphery of what you might consider to be yacht rock.
A little.
You know, some of their songs are definitely yacht rock. Some are just really cool, very complicated rock, right? And so they get Donald Fagen on the phone. He says, "Hey, my name's so-and-so. I'm the son of Christopher Cross.
Yeah.
We're doing a documentary on yacht rock." And Donald Fagen goes, "What are you doing a documentary on?" He goes, "Yacht rock." And Donald Fagen says, "And you think we're yacht rock?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, a little." And Donald Fagen basically says, go blank yourself, and hangs up the phone.
It was a really funny moment in the documentary. It is called Yacht Rock, a doc-umentary.
Love it. What?
And it's really good because it
explores... Why not just lean into it?
It explores that music scene of the 70s with that easy-listening, soft rock thing that Steely Dan pretty much launched.
And to your point about leaning into it,
they sold millions of records for you.
When was the last time you heard a Steely Dan song played on the radio or on Spotify or wherever prior to the resurgence of yacht rock? Never.
It's cool. It's easy. I'd
lean
into it.
They look at themselves as rockers, and the idea that it's yacht rock is an insult.
Yeah, you kind of had two different things happening in this documentary. You had the exploration of what this modern yacht rock thing is, mm-hmm. and all the touring bands and you know, playing it up and wearing the fisherman's cap and all that. And then you had this exploration of this sound, the Michael McDonald, the Steely Dan, all this stuff of the 1970s, which was fascinating.
Is it a run, do not walk?
It is a run, do not walk, if you love music.
Okay.
It's very interesting.
Good.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Encyclopedia Britannica.
You know, that name's really growing on you.
It is. I love it. I'm going to get him a shirt.
I mean, I kind of like the Yukon Dan, but that one's pretty good, too.
Thank you. You're welcome. The Kansas City Chiefs apparently want to place the franchise tag on offensive guard Trey Smith.
Okay.
I've never known a player who enjoyed being placed on the franchise tag, but he's about to get it. Window washers were dangling from broken scaffolding at a New York City high-rise.
And when they say dangling, they were swinging and bouncing off the building.
Okay, so the don't look it up. Don't look it up.
All right.
It was in Manhattan, okay, in Columbus Circle. Happened about 9:47, I think, yesterday morning or this morning. This morning. Would you care to guess? You know those buildings in New York are pretty tall.
Yeah.
The tallest building downtown Kansas City, I believe, is 30-something stories tall.
Okay.
Would you care to guess what floor they were dangling from?
This is in New York.
The scaffold had broken free from the building and was only hanging on by security lines when first responders arrived. There was plenty of poop in pants.
I was going to say. Let's say the 50th floor.
The 50th floor.
Yeah.
Higher.
60, 70?
Higher.
Oh, no. 90?
Lower.
Okay.
78th floor.
Anything over 5, and I'm dead anyway, so...
78th floor.
Oh. Whew. How long were they dangling?
Let me see if it says
more than a minute, and I'm having a heart attack.
Uh-huh.
I feel like most people are not afraid of heights until you're in a situation like that.
Oh, I am.
Also, how would they not obviously, these windows are some pretty thick glass, but they are swinging. Every time the wind blows, this thing swings and bounces off a window. How is the window not breaking?
By the way, the scaffolding was smacking into the side of the building and broke windows, sending glass down to the streets below.
Oh, my God.
Now, the workers were wearing their safety harnesses, but...
The only thing that saved them.
They were not hooked up to the scaffold rigging by safety lines.
Now, let me ask you a question.
Catastrophe about to happen.
And nobody has ever accused me of being the smartest cat in the litter.
Nope.
Easy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
When you get to the 78th floor, these were window washers.
Do we really need to be washing those windows?
Anything north of 20 floors? is somebody walking by in the street going, hey, Tom, look at that.
Amen.
That window up there on the 78th floor is very spotty.
No, but the exec inside that office who pays tens of millions of dollars a year for that office space is looking out that window and saying, God, can't we get some window washers up here?
There is window washing. God provides it to you. It's called rain.
I want to go back to the fear of heights. Let me rephrase that. Like, if you're afraid of spiders, that's actually something that you see. Probably quite a bit. Some in your house, some outside. The difference with the fear of heights is you're not always high. Dare I say, I'm never up high. Ever. So it's one of those phobias where, like, am I afraid of heights? It's not one of the first things I would list. But because I'm never in a situation that puts me up somewhere that I would be extremely uncomfortable.
So if I'm in a building, I am not afraid. It doesn't matter how high up I am. Empire. I've been to the top of the Empire State Building. I was fine. You can send me to the top of the World War I memorial deal where you can go all the way up to the top and walk outside and see the city in a 360-degree angle.
Yeah.
No problem. No problem. Here's I have a you've been to my home. I have a chandelier right inside the front door that dangles from the second floor. It's an open-air foyer.
Okay.
And I have a chandelier with, I would guess, probably 16 different light bulbs in it.
Sure.
Okay? One day, I noticed that one of the light bulbs had burnt out.
Okay.
I make a phone call across the street to my friend Dennis to ask him if he would be so kind to come over and change my light bulb. Because just getting up on a ladder
really?
That high up, I start to shake.
So that is a legitimate fear of heights.
I am petrified of being up on a ladder.
See, if I'm on a ladder, that doesn't bother me.
I got on a step stool the other day, a step stool to fix in the basement a piece of the ceiling. My ceiling looks just like this. And one of these runner.
You would have fallen 2 feet.
You have a drop tile ceiling.
Yes, I have a drop tile ceiling. Thank you. And one of the pieces there had become detached and it was just dangling down. I got up on a step stool that is no taller than this, and I was shaking like a leaf.
Have you always been like that?
No.
Now, Dana, you did mention you would only fall 2 feet. Most of the time when people break an ankle falling off of a ladder, it's the last two steps.
Really?
Yep, because you're so close to the ground that you think to yourself, oh, yeah, I'm good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Missed it.
So how tall was this building again in New York?
Well, they were on the 78th floor.
Oh, my God.
The tallest building in Kansas City, one Kansas City place,
yep.
42 floors.
Oh, 42. Okay, I thought it was 30-something.
So yeah. Almost 42. Twice that.
Mm-hmm.
Town Pavilion is 38.
The big blue glass building downtown mm-hmm. is 42 stories.
We looked this up. Isn't window washing one of the more dangerous jobs you can have? It's not, you know, firefighter, police officer, but it's up there.
Specifically high-rise window washing, yeah.
No pun intended.
Not the guy standing at the... Yeah, quick trip washing the windows outside
the ice cream shop.
Like 31st. And
that guy's making $9 an hour, you know?
The guy at the ice cream shop at 135th and Row, he's not making a lot of money.
Well, do you remember, what was it, back in September?
Yeah.
We
had him in studio.
Window washer here
yeah.
on the 23rd floor.
Yeah, we had the two cats that saved him mm-hmm. coming to the studio.
Now, that guy was just on a harness. He did not have scaffolding.
No, but you would
That's
still
even worse.
Be terrified.
You're
most
just hanging by
I
your
think
pants,
like
literally.
99% of people in that situation would be terrified.
Oh yeah.
What I'm saying is, like, I'm just never up high. I mean, I've gone ziplining once, and it was not my favorite thing. Like, I'm glad I did it. I would never do it again. I'm never in a situation where I am up high.
See, I'm very subjectively afraid of heights, like bungee jumping, ziplining. I know that everything's going to be okay. So I'm not, I just not scared.
Yeah.
But if I'm like on the edge of the Grand Canyon and I get within 5 feet, I start shaking like a leaf.
Hmm.
5 feet.
Like I can't walk up to the edge and look over.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. I'm going to read a story here that I think is going to get Sam's conspiracy theory brain a-churning. Egg producers are blaming the bird flu outbreak for driving prices to record highs, but critics believe that giant companies are taking advantage of their market dominance to profit handsomely at the expense of budget-conscious egg buyers.
You know, we had the big egg conspiracy guy call in a while back, and man, it got me in a rabbit hole.
Stop Googling conspiracy theories, no, Sam.
Tell everybody, Sam, the conspiracy theory you shared with me off the air at the end of the show last night.
Just take a wild guess. How many commercial egg-laying hens are there currently? Before the avian flu kicked in, how many commercial egg-laying hens were there in the United States? Just throw a number
20
out
million.
There.
No, it's much higher.
100 million. I don't know.
340 million.
Okay.
All right.
We have lost 30 million birds. That means there are 310 million still dropping eggs.
That is 8 points.
Well, not all of them are girl chickens.
They're hens. They're all hens.
The hens population has dropped roughly 8.7%.
And why are our prices? It was $1.79 at Aldi to get a dozen eggs 6 months ago. You lose 8% and all of a sudden it's $7?
It It is a good point, Sam. Of
got
all
my brain
of your
turning.
Of all of your conspiracy theories, that is one I'm willing to entertain.
I don't know if I buy it yet, but man, the numbers do not add up.
From CBS News, it is not only the surging cost of eggs that is making breakfast pricier these days. The price of coffee is also spiking because of a confluence of factors. The cost of wholesale beans, the most popular on the planet, surpassed $4 a pound for the first time this month and have doubled over the past year, running up from less than $2 a pound in January 2024 to a record $4.30 a pound on February 13th, 2025. Is it Arabica beans? Is that, I don't know how
Arabica.
To pronounce Arabica. Okay. So I didn't even get it right
on
the
two
that I tried. Anyway, those are the beans that are apparently the most popular around the world. For consumers still grappling with high food prices, that means soaring prices in the grocery aisle. The retail price of ground coffee hit an all-time high of $7 a pound in January, up 75% from January of 2020.
Arabica.
Thank you.
Yeah, wait till you hear about the number of coffee-laying hens.
No. That's when we really go down a rabbit hole. Have you heard of Starbucks Edward? The name Edward is trending right now for all of the wrong reasons.
Okay.
Starbucks Edward has spoken out after his crazy order went viral. I'm going to show you a photo of the order.
Oh, my word.
Look at all of the different specifications he has. Edward...
What a jerk.
Ordered a venti caramel crunch frappe with, this is all separate from the original order, 5 bananas, 7 pumps of caramel syrup, extra whip, and a laundry list of 9 other things.
One ass hat.
You know, it was probably 26,000 calories. It was a $14 beverage. Edward has come forward, does not want to give his last name, and says, I don't see a reason why I wouldn't order a drink like that again. Edward is 31. He unwittingly found himself in hot water last Monday after an ex-Starbucks employee shared a Twitter snapshot of the complex coffee concoction featuring 13 ingredients. His crazy cup of joe command sent social media to a boiling point. The whole thing has gone viral, and I think she might have gotten fired over it.
If you want a custom-made coffee...
With 13 different instructions, Sam...
Go to the grocery store and
yourself.
Buy the ingredients that you want in the coffee and go home.
Because you're holding up everyone else because of that.
Not to mention the ingredients separately probably cost you, what, $20? And you can make like 50 coffees out of it?
It's not good.
We are doomed.
That is what broke your camel's back?
When we get back, we might have to bring this back on Monday. An arrest warrant has been issued for a man who crashed into a tow truck during an attempted repo. It has been a while since we've talked about the old repo.
Oh, let's do that coming up
this
in just a minute.
This is local-ish.
Let's not save that. Let's do it right now.
It's Johnson County, Missouri.
Which is Warrensburg.
And they are still looking for the 28-year-old. Yeah, we talk about dangerous jobs.
Oh.
The old repo, tow, bail bonds, like that whole wheelhouse of jobs.
913-586-7798. Don't forget, we have Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news, the airing of the grievances. It is brought to you by Q39. Get your Q fix today at Q39KC.com.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So a Warrensburg man has been criming. He is charged with assault and property damage, and if convicted, could spend 11 years behind bars and be forced to pay a $20,000 fine. All over a tow truck trying to repossess his car. The case was filed in Johnson County, Missouri court this week against 28-year-old Zachary Stewart, who is charged in connection to the, quote, incident with the tow company. Probable cause statement filed by the Warrensburg Police Department revealed that around 10 a.m. on November 13th, emergency crews were called to the area of Warren and Young Street with report of a vehicle theft. Law enforcement officials reported that the caller, identified as Stewart, reported an unknown suspect had stolen his vehicle. He was walking around looking for it. In fact, the vehicle wasn't stolen. It was being repossessed. Two tow truck drivers had been called to that address earlier that morning to repo the vehicle. I'm going to stop there and ask a question. When your car is getting repossessed, I'm assuming it's because you've never made a payment or you're so far
behind. You would have to be very far behind.
You would have to know when you come out and your car is missing. Wouldn't you, your first assumption be, okay, as much as I would like to believe someone just stole my car,
it was repoed.
This has probably been repossessed.
You certainly know that you haven't been making the payments. You certainly know that the bank has sent you to collections. Now, whether or not they know that that repo is happening that day, they would not know. That's kind of the art of the repo.
Yeah, surprise.
Investigators said that they found that two tow truck drivers had been called to the address earlier that morning to repossess the car. When they spoke to Stewart, who was still in his car, he drove off. So he's in another car. The pair reported they found the vehicle parked nearby and parked their truck behind it. When one of the drivers, attempted to get out of the truck to repossess the car, Stewart cranked it in reverse. The tow guys hopped back in the truck. Law enforcement officials noted that when the man got back out of the truck a second time, Stewart put his vehicle in reverse again and nearly hit him before hitting the truck a second time, causing a significant amount of damage to the tow truck.
Somebody says, I went to high school with him. Damn it, Zach.
Don't you know?
Yes, of course you do, Dana.
When the repo man is coming?
Dana, there are so many other hurdles that the bank would have had to jump over before they do that. Because the last thing they want to do, just like the last thing a bank wants to do, or a mortgage company, is foreclose on your house.
Or shut down Salty Iguana.
Yeah, they're going to make more money by keeping you in your home so long as you're making payments. They're going to make more money, it's all interest driven, of course, by keeping you in your car. I was late on my car payment last month by a couple of days. It just slipped my mind. It was sitting there on the desk and
Here comes the phone call.
I forgot to pay. I didn't get a phone call, but I immediately got a letter that said, you're late on your payment, blah, blah, blah. Please contact us and this was one payment.
We will work. That also ticks me off.
We will. Yeah, I know.
Are you having trouble making? No, I've made every payment for the last 3 years. Never missed. No, I'm not having trouble making my payment.
Your bill just happened to be underneath a bill that wasn't due until next week. And so I was late on the car payment one time. And I got a letter within 5 days saying, please contact us and we will set up a payment schedule that more fits with your finances. I'm fine.
What do you think? I'm poor.
And so then, just to prove my point, I double paid on the next bill.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's so Western Shawnee of you.
You're damn right it is. But to get to that point, this guy would have had to have been warned by the bank countless times. And then to your point, Sam, turned over to collections, which can be brutal.
And then collections has to do their due diligence, however long of a process that is. And once collections says, yeah, they're not doing anything.
He's not going to break. He's not paying. He doesn't have the ability to pay. Then the bank says, enough is enough. We're now losing money on this investment.
How long do you think you can go?
6 or 7 months would be my
guess. I was going to say 5. I bet you got 5 months.
But he knew this was coming. He knew it was only a matter of time before Tommy's toe rolled
out. Not only did he know it was coming, at the point that you see them hooking your car up to a tow truck, you don't got to be Matlock to figure out what's happening.
Yeah, I haven't paid the bill in a long time. They're taking back what is actually their property.
So it all depends on the deal that you signed when you got that loan. Some lenders have a 30 to 90 day grace period. Others will repo your car after one missed payment.
What?
Well, that doesn't make any sense because they make the money not on reselling
your car
at a much lower rate than they gave you the loan for. They make the money off of the interest that you pay every month. They need you in that car. They want you in that car.
You want to Scott Parks that contract and read every word, because it says here that there are some strict lenders who could repossess your car.
Okay, strict lenders, but like Chase Bank
or
Cap Fed, they're not coming after you for missing one two payments.
I'm glad you brought this up. Guess where I went yesterday? You're not even going to believe it. I would be more likely to be seen in like a shotgun store.
Dana, after all the things that you've done in the last year, from eating healthier, going gluten-free, wanting to live out in the country, starting to exercise on a regular basis, I've given up trying to figure out the guess where I was yesterday. You wouldn't believe it, because now I will.
I went into a bank.
Oh, God.
First time in 10 years.
Oh, my God.
Here's why. I kept getting mail from Cap Fed. I love Cap Fed. That was my parents' bank. It's when I first started out. I started banking there.
They know me by name.
I've moved. I bank with UMB. Shameless plug now. And so I kept getting mail from Cap Fed. And so finally I open it. It was always the very thin, you know, nothing important. It just felt like junk. Turns out it wasn't. I open it and it says, you know, we recently figured out that maybe you have moved. Have you had a change of address? You still have an account here.
Oh, that's always good news.
I vaguely remember 10 years ago, 9 years ago, I don't even remember. Vaguely remember opening up an account on the State Line Road Cap Fed for children expenses. Very quickly, we figured out that's a disaster. They cannot have their own card. And so we just didn't use it. Balance has been, to my knowledge, was zero for this whole time. So I called, said, hey, can I shut this account down? This is Dana. I can give you my social. They said, no, you got to come in to do that. Fine. I go into Cap Fed. Took about 15 minutes. There was $1 in that.
$1?
Scott, there was $1.
And that was probably off interest accrued on 50 cents in the account.
Correct. And God knows how much money they were spending mailing me these things over however many years that account's been dormant. So I said, look, we need to shut this account down. It took about 15 minutes. But I'm going to be honest. When I was in there, it is so deathly quiet.
That's how I like
And this was one over in Olathe-ish. Just I drove by it. I went, I got 30 minutes. There's a Cap Fed. I'm going to go shut that account. I'm going to get stuff done today. Nobody. You could have heard a pin drop for miles. And I wanted to say to the employees, blink twice if you need help. Are you okay? It is too quiet in here. You know, part of me actually wondered, are they being robbed? I actually thought that.
Okay.
I was looking over my shoulder. Okay. It's been that long since I've been in a bank. They are not bustling places of commerce anymore.
Well, that's a lie. My Cap Fed, which is at the corner of, it's in far western Shawnee on Shawnee Mission Parkway. That's a hopping place.
When you say hopping, what do you mean?
It's louder, more busy than Tanner's across the street.
Oh, please.
I mean, they might as well be serving beers and showing basketball games when I walk in there.
Now we just know that you're lying.
It's
the epicenter of activity over there.
If you want to know what's going on in the neighborhood, you go to the lobby of Cap Fed in Western Shawnee.
I'm going to throw out probably an unpopular theory here, but I ask, at what point do we not have 96 brick and mortar branches anymore? You know, we're starting to see post offices shut down, right?
Good.
So at what point, you know, I'm not picking on Cap Fed at all, but is there a reason to have, let's say, some of the really, you said Chase Bank. Is there a reason to have 100 Chase Bank branches when, for the most part, very few people are actually going into the bank except Scott Parks or the random person that decides, again, I'm going to rob a bank today.
Again, not true. I can't tell you how many times I've had to wait in line.
You are lying. Oh, my gosh. I had nine people run over. Can I help you? Can I get you coffee?
You listen to me. I was being a little facetious when I said that the CapFed branch in my neighborhood is hopping more than Tanner's across the street. That was not accurate, okay? I was fibbing. But it is quite often that I will walk in there and I will have to wait a handful of minutes in line before somebody says, can I help you, Mr. Parks?
Why? Because there's one teller and one person up at the counter?
Sam, name me a legitimate reason that you would physically have to go in, and let's just use CapFed, to that CapFed branch where I am pretty sure no one has been in that branch for 9 years.
I've been into a bank, well, other than childhood when I would go in with my parents, but for my own personal money purposes, I've been into a bank one time in my life.
Let me give you an example of why one would need to go into a bank, okay? Here's one example.
I'll tell you in a minute why I'm going in tomorrow.
My daughter was traveling to Europe, and we needed a euro or a Bitcoin, whatever it is they use over there. I don't travel to fancy places.
It's the euro.
Whatever. She needed whatever those things are. So to exchange money, yes, you need a physical bank. That's one reason in 2 years.
Now,
and then to close an account, I had to go in, show my driver's license, and sign. There's two reasons.
All right. Well, I can tell you, you don't ever have to do the exchange thing anymore because when you get to the foreign country that they're going to, they'll do that too. They'll take your dollars. Like when we were in London two summers ago, every morning I would wake up and go to the corner.
So you've just erased one of my two reasons that I've been in a bank in 9 years.
But you're going to love this. Here's why I'm going into a bank tomorrow morning.
Okay.
I need to order some more checks.
Okay.
I'm getting low.
You can also do that online.
Yeah. You can also pay your mortgage online. I don't do that either.
The first American that has ever been low on checks and needed to reorder since about 2000.
These are false accusations. These are false accusations.
I'm not saying you shut down all the branches, but you could easily just make it a drive-through with those froomp. What are those things called? I love those. Froomp. You don't have to physically go in, is what I'm saying.
I have to go in all the time. I need small bills.
Okay.
Go in for coins.
All right, here we go.
No.
Scott.
I need rolls of quarters.
You can do that in the drive-thru.
From 7452, Scott, I will back you up on waiting in line at a CapFed branch. Maybe one out of three times that I go into a branch, do I go directly to the teller. Boom!
What if your account gets compromised and you need a new card?
Okay.
You pop by and go inside.
New card, exactly right. You could pop by. I just think most of Americans' banking needs can be handled through the drive-thru, which would cut down on the armed robberies.
Now, I will say business owners do need the brick and mortar.
100%. So you would have one branch dedicated to your business needs.
Okay.
That's forcing people to have to travel a lot.
They have an entire different branch just for Scott Parks.
I honestly know we're late for the break. I do not understand where this visceral hatred.
I don't have a hatred.
The brick and mortar bank comes from the two of you.
I'm just asking, is there a need for so many of them when it did not look like many people had been in there?
Well, it makes it more convenient for me.
Bill Clinton was in office.
Okay.
It is more convenient when I need to pull cash out once every year.
You just go to an ATM, wouldn't you?
Well, I don't want to pay the 3%, so I go to one of the 97 Bank of Americas around the city.
Okay.
I do not understand the hatred, just the blatant red-eye hatred.
I just love that you're the one that goes in there. I think it makes them happy because they haven't had any human contact in such a long time.
It's up to them.
Here comes old man Parks again.
Okay.
It's up to them as a business. If they want more branches, they'll make more branches.
That's right, Dan. That's right.
Yeah.
Festivus Friday coming up in 12 minutes here on Dana and Parks. Oh, wait, before you share that, New Mexico authorities have just announced the last event recorded on Hackman's pacemaker was February 17th. That was 11 days ago.
Okay, so this goes right in line with that. And Sam, man, you may have been right. Help me backdate this.
February 17th.
February 17th was the last known
event on his pacemaker.
Okay, listen to this from the Daily Beast, but also via MSNBC. Gene Hackman's wife may have died before him in some kind of medical episode, according to a law enforcement source on MSNBC. as authorities continue to investigate what happened there, right? Hackman, 95, and his classical pianist wife, Betsy, were found dead inside their home on Wednesday. No apparent signs of foul play and no gas leak detected. Because there are no external signs of trauma, and they are still determining to figure out cause of death here, one theory that they are leaning toward is that she died first, mm-hmm. natural causes. The way she was even found looked like she had collapsed, Scott, right?
Mm-hmm. She was also mummified. He, not yet.
And right. Keep in mind, the pills found around her were Tylenol and blood pressure medication.
Not pills to kill either one of them. Right. So then he is 95, probably in a weakened, feeble state. That is an elderly man.
Very.
Who
might be slipping mentally.
Might be. We don't know. Didn't know how to call for help or couldn't call for help.
We don't know what his mental condition was.
And then he is not being cared for if she was his caretaker.
Right.
And, you know, he slips away maybe a week later. This could just be.
Yeah.
Or it could, honestly, it could have been longer. Yeah. Well, I don't know, though, because some of their neighbors said that they were seen out and about 3 weeks ago. But it makes sense. If she was having chest pain, what do? You go to the bathroom and you look for the blood pressure meds, yep. and the Tylenol.
Oh, yep. And he was found, or they were found, what's today, Friday? Wednesday, I believe, was when the news came out, early Wednesday morning, if I'm not mistaken. Or Wednesday. No, they were found Wednesday, which means he would have been, if he died on the day they last recorded something on his pacemaker, he would have been in that house dead for roughly 8 to 9 days. We have Festivus Friday coming your way in just a moment. The airing of the grievances. You guys know how to play the game. We've been doing it for more than 13 years on this show. Get in early. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. Festivus Friday, when we return. Here on Dana and Parks, the news with Dan coming up in 2 minutes.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.